Okay, and now Andy is going to come and read to us.
This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 22, which is Jesus blesses the little children and then the rich man. Some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples scolded the people. When Jesus noticed this, he was angry and said to his disciples, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on each of them and blessed them. As Jesus was starting on his way again, a man ran up, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not cheat. Respect your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man said, "ever since I was young, I have obeyed all these commandments." Jesus looked straight at him with love and said, "You need only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, gloom spread over his face, and he went away sad because he was very rich. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, when my children were young, there was a programme on CBeebies called Rule the School. What's unusual about this particular school? Would anyone like to tell us? Sounds quite a good sort of school to me. Now I'm not a teacher anymore. Yes, shout it out.
Role reversal.
Role reversal, that's right. Because instead of the adults telling the children what to do, the children were telling the adults what to do. Dangerous idea. And so because of that, of course, out went maths and science, and in came subjects that children wanted to do and were good at, which was very unlike the new children, i.e. the adults. In fact, it was a little bit like the game that we played earlier on, where the rules were sort of rigged, you may have realised, to make it harder for the children. The children came out of it looking really smart, while the grown-ups looked very silly indeed. Well, I hope that you children are shocked by seeing grown-ups looking silly. Or at least, we used to find it very shocking when grown-ups looked silly. Because you see, you kids of today, you don't know how lucky you are. When I were a lad, children were supposed to be seen and not heard, and preferably not seen either. Ah, there's my friend. Now, if we tried to get one over the teachers when we were little, this is the sort of thing that might happen. And it was no good going home and telling your dad that the teacher had hit you, because your dad would hit you as well. Now, in the olden days, people had lots and lots of children. But it wasn't because they liked children. I mean, look at this mum and dad, for instance. They've got 8 children, and they really don't look very happy at all, do they? But in those days, you didn't have children because you liked them. Of course not. It was so they could all work on the family farm or in the family shop. And, most importantly, so that they could look after you when you got old. None of this putting mum and dad in a home the moment they look a bit doddery and forgetful. Oh no, children knew their place in those days. And it was somewhere, right down on the floor, in the dirt, underneath my big left toenail. Now, over 400 years ago, there was a group of nursery nurses. I got a bit bored looking after the children in their care. Don't get ideas here, Keely. So, because they were a bit bored, they decided to play catch with their little bundles of baby. And you can imagine what happened when a new nursery nurse started who wasn't very good at catch. Oops, butterfingers. But never mind, it was only a child. Now, 2,000 years ago in Jesus' time, it was even worse. For kids, that is. In a court of law, no attention whatsoever could be paid to the evidence of a child. Or a woman, of course. Roman children belonged to their fathers, and your father could do with you as he wished. Now, if our loving dad felt that he'd already got quite enough babies, thank you, it was quite okay for him to put the new baby out in the fields overnight to die of cold or be eaten by wild animals. Especially if the new baby was one of those more expensive and less useful type of children called girls. So, you can imagine how shocked and stunned Jesus' disciples must have been by what happened in the Bible story today. There they were, trying to keep these pesky kids and their pushy parents away from Jesus so that he could get on with the important stuff for grown-ups, teaching, preaching, healing, etc. And what does Jesus do? He turns around and tells them off. And then what's more, he doesn't just bless the children quickly and shoo them on or give them a quick wave of blessing like passing royalty. No. In the story it says that Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed each one of them. Because each individual child was important to Jesus. Just as he loves each one of us here today. Those poor disciples, embarrassed and humiliated in front of a bunch of kids. It was like rule the school all over again. They had to learn that these unimportant little people who had no legal rights at all really mattered to Jesus. But Jesus hadn't finished yet. There was even worse to come. Because not content with telling his disciples off for keeping the kids away, Jesus went on to say something so shocking, so stunning, that it must have caused their jaws to drop and hit the ground with an almighty great crash. He said, "I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Or to put it another way, in other words, Jesus was saying, if you want to get to know God, you need to come as if you were a child. So, what on earth does that mean? How can you come to God like a child if, like me, you're actually 60? And apparently some people are actually older. Fortunately, I don't think Jesus means that we should pretend that we're children again. We don't need to turn up to church next Sunday wearing our old school uniform, which is probably for the best. So, maybe Jesus meant that we should try to be like children, because children are always so nice. Just look at these pictures. Aren't they just so lovely and cute? A couple more of them, I think. Yes, look at them all. They're so delicious. You could almost eat one, couldn't you? Well, let's get some views on this question. Are children always nice? Does anyone here have a younger brother or sister? I can see one already. Tell me, is your younger sister always nice?
No.
No, okay. Can you elaborate? Could you give us any little stories that might prove a point? No? Oh, I'm sure there must be someone. Right, how about, have you got a younger brother?
Little brother. He's always nice to me.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow, that's really sweet. Not the right answer, I'm afraid, but nonetheless, very good. Yes. Anyone else have younger brothers or sisters? Oh, we've got a few over here. Right, tell us, is your younger sister, is it? Brother. Always nice?
No.
Can you give us an example?
Because he always scratches me and bites me.
He sounds just like my puppy, always scratching and biting. Theo, your blushing sister right next to you, dare you tell us that she's not perfect? Sorry.
She's definitely not perfect, but okay. She's not the worst sister.
She's not the worst sister that you've got. Well, I think she is, actually. She's the only one you've got. Right, Theo, now, you've got a handful, wouldn't it, in your family? Are they always nice?
No, not really.
Could you give us an example?
Yeah, they're quite annoying.
They're quite annoying. How do they annoy you?
Don't leave me alone.
They just don't leave you alone. Oh, right. It's just in nature, isn't it? They can't help but be annoying. I have an older sister, and she was also very annoying. She still is very annoying, but fortunately at some distance now, whereas when we were children, she'd always be banging on my door and wanting to annoy me, basically. So I think we can deduce from that Jesus didn't mean that children are always nice. So, yeah, in that case then, what did Jesus mean? If we're all supposed to be like children, and children aren't necessarily nice, what was he trying to get at? Well, to try and find out, I'm going to do a little experiment. We're going to do a little experiment. And I need two people to come up and give me a hand. Yep, okay, I'll have the young lady over there with the less than perfect siblings. And you come up and help me as well? Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to whisper to you what I want you to do. So, I'm just going to... Okay, so, now, the experiment is this. This isn't my breakfast, by the way. I did actually get up in time to have it. I'm going to put up here some sweets. They're sort of like these are fruit pastels and something else of a fruity variety. And then over on the table here, I will put chocolates. And anyone, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and anyone who wants to can come up and get one. Just help yourselves. Five seconds. Any last sweetie grabbers? Five. 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, okay, good. So I'm going to ask my two counters here, because that was their secret mission, was to count how many children and how many adults came up. So, how many children did you count?
12.
Excellent. And how many grown-ups?
8.
12 children and 8 adults. Good. Thank you. That's great. Thank you very much. You can sit down now. And, of course, the other thing to remember, I worked this out because I had a horrible feeling it was going to be more adults than children, which would have been the wrong answer, is that most of the people who are listening are adults. The children are all distracted over there. So actually, 12 children and 8 adults meant that you are much more likely to come up and get a sweet if you were a child. Now, here's the really difficult question. Does that tell you anything about children and adults? Why do you think you're more likely to come up and get a sweet if you're a child than if you were an adult? Any ideas? There's quite a little flurry of adults to begin with, which did worry me rather, but fortunately they subsided. Yes, okay, why is it that children are more likely to come up than adults? Thank you.
Children are more trusting, and the adults are looking for a catch.
And adults?
Looking for the catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? Yes. You're worldly wise, so you're looking for the hidden thing that's going to catch you out.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Does anyone else? Yes, as one of the greedy adults, I think.
Adults are too shy.
Adults are too shy, that's right. I mean, just look at us. Whoops, look at me. I've just trodden on one as well. Adults are too shy. Adults are looking out for the catch. Whereas children, on the other hand, are more trusting. If I was now to say that each of those sweets cost a pound and you've got to pay me later, then that would be just the kind of thing that adults would be expecting, but children wouldn't. So, that, I think, begins to help us to see why Jesus said we should be like children. It shows that children are more willing to receive and to trust. So perhaps they're more straightforward, and children perhaps tend to do and say what they mean more than adults. For instance, we used to give our children lots of presents at Christmas, and funnily enough, as they rushed downstairs on Christmas morning, they didn't stop and say, "Look, Dad, you can't buy us all these presents. We've only got you a Kylie CD and a calendar again." No, they rushed down to see what good things we had in store for them. And when we bought Tom his first Xbox, he didn't look at it suspiciously, wondering whether it was one of Saddam Hussein's missing weapons of mass destruction. He trusted us, his parents, to give him good things. Adults tend to find it harder to receive. If someone gives us a present when it's not Christmas or our birthday, we wonder why they're doing it. What's the catch, as Barbara said? They must have hidden reasons, because that's what us grown-ups tend to think. We find it harder to trust. And we like to be able to look after ourselves and sort out our own problems because we have pride. We don't want someone else to look after us, and we don't want to admit when we've messed up or when we can't cope. So actually, maybe we adults are a bit like the rich man who we heard about in today's Bible reading as well. In fact, maybe that's why the Bible writers put these two stories right next to each other. Now, not all grown-ups are rich, unfortunately, but like the rich man, we adults tend to think we've got everything sorted, everything sewn up and under control. This man had got money and goodness sorted. Well, almost. He kept all the Ten Commandments all his life, but thought maybe he might just need an extra thing from Jesus, but not much, because he was pretty good already. Perhaps he thought that Jesus would be impressed with all he had to offer, because again, we adults often like to think that God needs us as much as we need him. But Jesus sweeps all that away and says, "Forget all these things, your money and your good deeds. I don't need them. Leave them behind and follow me. I love you, so trust me, just like a little child." And that's what Jesus still says to us today, whether we're children or grown-ups. It's a problem if we grown-ups find it hard to accept presents, because Jesus loves to give them, just like a parent with a child. For instance, he wants to give us forgiveness, so that we can turn away from all the bad stuff in our lives and leave that behind. He wants to give us a place in his family where God will love each one of us as a parent loves a child. He wants to give us peace in our lives so that we don't worry about anything, because God is always with us, no matter what. He wants to give us meaning and purpose in life, and above all, his presence, which will never leave us, so that one day we'll be with him in a new world where there won't be any suffering or sadness or evil anymore. So, whether you're the youngest child here today or the wrinkliest of grown-ups, the challenge of Jesus is just the same. Can you accept my love and my kingdom like a child? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you long to give us so many good things. Forgive us when we think we're too clever or too proud to need you, and when we don't trust you enough to accept the good things that you want us to have. And help us right now to come to you like little children, with open hearts, so that you can come into our lives fresh and help us to live for you. Amen.